Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know what, let's start with what David Noble and I were talking about off air during the break here, kind of listening to the news in the background here. First off, David Noble, I'm excited to see you. Thanks so much for covering down on this show. I know our listeners always love it when you're in here, and so, but it's a big task, so I greatly appreciate you taking time away from your day job and everything else to fill in, so thank you so much.
And now my sleeping pattern is such that I'm just naturally waking up at 4:30 a.m. now, so... Coming in this morning was no big deal.
Yeah, you're like, well, I'm up. I guess I might as well go in. Yeah, because I was just joking before the break. I was like, oh, okay, now he just filled in several days. So he may say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, sleep in Thursday morning or just focus in on my day job. But then I was like, you know what? Man, we got an election coming up right around the corner. So I'll bet you he's like... He's just hankering for a microphone again, so it's good to see you.
Yeah, and I was saying, you know, Aaron, this show's really important right now because we're coming up on the election, but it's going to be even more important after the election as we dive into, hey, let's talk policy now, let's talk 2025 Montana legislature, let's talk Trump policies, let's talk what is Tim Sheehy doing in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
And we're going to be waiting several weeks for the presidential election results. Pennsylvania's already come out and said, we won't get you our results for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's in election season, you get, you know, a lot of extra people that tune in because they want to know, they're particularly listening to talk radio because they want to know what's going on with the election. They want to know the horse race stuff. And so, but in reality, guys like you and me, man, we're excited to talk policy in a much deeper way. One of the hours, I listened to several shows that you did through the Montana Talks podcast, so it was great catching up. But I want to go back and listen to your conversation on Medicaid expansion, because that's going to be a big topic before the Montana legislative session, because it's up for renewal, reauthorization effectively. But my biggest concern there is that they might try to sneak on some additional stuff to the Medicaid expansion coming up in the legislative session as well, especially if we have fewer conservatives in the legislature this next session.
Oh yeah, I mean one of the best arguments against Medicaid expansion is how it actually harms the core Medicaid population of low income and disabled folks, because there's only a limited supply of doctors and medical providers that care for Medicaid patients. And the Medicaid expansion population, Aaron, is all able-bodied working age people, and so when you add those people to the Medicaid rolls who are able-bodied working-age folks, they then are competing for the limited number of medical providers. So you're actually taking resources away from the low-income and the disabled folks that are your core Medicaid population. Second, under the Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden administration massively increased the Obamacare subsidy such that now anybody that's less than 150% of the poverty level gets free health insurance on the Obamacare marketplace. So there's literally no benefit to it and a ton of downsides.
And you and I and the rest of the working class folks...
Oh, we're paying through the nose for our health insurance.
We have to go to work every day to pay for our own health care and then pay for everybody else's stuff. That's why what you and John were talking about on Tuesday about how, wait, we all are working to give our money to other people. What do you call that?
Military matters.
When former President Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, the IAEA lost the ability to have inspectors on site monitoring Iran's nuclear program. The deal, negotiated by the Obama administration, removed the key elements needed to create a bomb and prolonged Iran's breakout time from 2 to 3 months to 1 year. A new analysis by the Institute for Science and International Security of the most recent IAEA quarterly report warns that, according to the IAEA, Iran has accumulated enough weapons-grade uranium to produce 9 nuclear weapons in 1 month, 12 in 2 months, and 15 nuclear bombs in 5 months. The UN nuclear watchdog found that as of August 17th, Iran has more than 363 pounds of uranium enriched up to 60%, an increase of nearly 50 pounds since May. It is the only non-nuclear weapon state to accumulate this much highly enriched uranium. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Why is the fake news media clutching their pearls over cats and dogs? Why are they raining down the cats and dogs coverage? I mean, you've got 911 audio and more pointing to migrants in Ohio killing cats, killing ducks, killing geese. But the media is clutching their pearls over this when actual American citizens, young women, are being raped and murdered by illegal aliens. That was one of the questions we raised on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Open phones coming up Thursday, too.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, great to have David Noble in the house here on this Thursday. I know I got a woke update in here somewhere and buried in my stack of stuff.
I've actually got one right here. This is actually a good one.
Go for it.
Okay, the woke reason why there's no scenic route option on Google Maps. This one is actually an older one, but it's kind of interesting. If folks don't know, Google Maps is woke, and you're not allowed to do a scenic route. And the reason that you're not allowed to do a scenic route on Google Maps is thanks to DEI, and they basically don't want you to divert foot traffic from low-income streets to high-income streets. And so Google Maps will actually send you through, like, dangerous, you know, areas and not even allow you to take the scenic option, because if you take the scenic option, then you're diverting foot traffic.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so, and apparently, like, people are asking Google, like, hey, can we please have a scenic route option? Like, yeah, I'm going to go on a, you know, in Montana, we're going to go on, you know, four-hour drives, you know, to get somewhere. And it's like, actually, I already know all the scenic route options. I'm sure you do, too, with how much driving you do. But if you're in a city or something and it's like, hey, I want to do the scenic route. Nope, sorry, we're going to send you through these low-income neighborhoods instead.
I actually kind of really like this concept for a change. I'm going to go with the woke side of this argument, because when I want to take the scenic route, you're right, in Montana, I already know the scenic route. So, Google, you tell all those wokesters,
on I-90. Yeah,
no, you want to go this way. You do not want to drive the Rocky Mountain front. You do not want to take the cut across through White Sulphur Springs to get to Helena. You know, you want to, So I
don't drive up. Don't drive up the Shields Valley. You know, don't get off on I-90 and head up the Shields Valley and then go west over to Townsend. And you know, don't do that.
Do not give away our favorite drives. And looking for a scenic location to go fishing or boating, yeah, give them the worst option possible. And then there's going to be more parking at the boat ramp for you and me. So,
well, I wonder if Google Maps would send folks into downtown Billings, where we've just had a bunch of stabbings and police shootings and all that other stuff. Did you see that guy that just stabbed somebody in downtown Billings the other day was released on probation by none other than one of our favorite local district court judges here in Yellowstone County, Judge Moses, had released that guy on probation, and then he ended up stabbing a guy like two or three days ago.
Oh, wasn't that a woman?
It was a guy, actually, because I looked him up on the MontanaConvicts.com or whatever it is, and it showed, he had been previously convicted, he was out on probation, and then he just stabbed somebody.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. And then there was that guy. That was a crazy story where there was this guy who he stole a front end loader, a piece of construction equipment, and he's driving it around on a trailer. Law enforcement spots it. So they start, trying to chase this guy down. They end up in basically like a high speed chase. This guy slams into several vehicles, and then the front end loader eventually ends up falling off the side of the trailer. They're trying to chase this guy down. He's running through multiple red lights. He's weaving everything, and then tragically kills a guy riding a motorcycle. And so, but to your point, it's crazy what's going on with crime, especially in places still, despite great efforts by law enforcement. But again, it goes back to your conversation with Attorney General Austin Knutson. And I'm not saying that all the crime is related specifically to the Mexican drug cartels and the open southern border, but drugs is oftentimes what is fueling most of this. And that is what is coming from the wide open southern border. And it's like, wow, why don't we see press conferences, from the Rocky Mountain tribal leaders talking about the lack of law enforcement on our reservations, or talking about the Mexican drug cartels invading our reservations and targeting our reservations? But I don't think I've seen the Rocky Mountain tribal leaders hold a big press conference on that topic.
Haven't seen them hold any kind of press conference on it, on addressing the quite well-known issue of drug and alcohol addiction, both on our reservations and off our reservations here in Montana. But you've also got, over in Bozeman, you've got all of those people driving on the interstate the wrong way, and all these other driving issues. You know what's so interesting about the Springfield, Ohio story is that most of the Springfield, Ohio story is actually about these Haitian migrants driving and not knowing how to drive. They have no clue how to drive, and they're driving, and then the Springfield city's not arresting them for driving without a license. And actually in Ohio, there was a Haitian migrant who literally crashed into a school bus with 52 kids on it, turned the thing over. One kid died, over 20 of them injured, 52 kids in a school bus being thrown around because of a Haitian migrant driving. That guy ended up getting convicted and sentenced. And it's like, wait, why are we convicting and sentencing some Haitian migrant on TPS, which ought to be repealed anyway? But send them back to Haiti if they're illegally driving and literally killing little school kids.
Yeah, in fact, actually, this could be another woke update of the week here. That was an 11-year-old boy who was killed by a Haitian migrant in Springfield, Ohio, which is now the center of this presidential debate follow-up coverage. The father of the boy who was killed by the Haitian in Springfield says that he wishes his son was, quote, killed by a 60-year-old white man instead. The point that he was making is that he says... He basically was making the point that if my son was killed by a 60-year-old white man, maybe people would care.
That's unbelievable.
But because his son was killed by a so-called migrant, it's like most in the media don't care. They don't care about this 11-year-old who was killed.
Right, and they're all focused on ducks and geese and cats and dogs, and they're totally ignoring the real story, which is all the actual deaths, the driving, the other problems. They're destroying their healthcare system in Ohio. I mean, there's all kinds of problems.
Yeah, exactly. Man, the time is flying by. Stand by.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
This week, Potomac, Montana rancher Justin Iverson is joining the U.S. Meat Export Federation on a trade mission to Japan. Iverson is representing the Montana Beef Council on the trade mission.
The Japanese consumer is very driven by quality and taste, and they absolutely highly value grain-finished beef. They're not interested in grass-finished. They can get that from Australia if they want, but they actually prefer very high-end grain-finished. They like the eating quality, they like the texture, they like the eating experience. And so they want to know how we are finishing our cattle, how we are selecting our genetics, how we raise them on the ground. They want to see pictures of our ranches. Somewhat interested in sustainability. That's a little bit less for them. They are very concerned about the environment. They want to know that we're healthy and we're safe, but they know that the American producer has very high quality and very high standards for environmental care. And so it's not the biggest driver for them. It really comes down to the eating experience.
Iverson emphasized the economic impact of beef exports, with Japan being a top market, exporting premium cuts like strip loin, short ribs, and other products like beef tongue and others that aren't desirable in the United States, help American producers maximize profits by adding nearly $400 in carcass value. The trade mission concludes this weekend. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we get on to another topic, I always like to make sure we're accurate here. So let me, when I read this story, I assumed that this guy, this is a DailyWire.com story, I assumed that the father of this 11-year-old boy who was killed by this Haitian migrant, that he wanted people to give more attention to what happened, And so that's why he said that he wishes his son was killed by a 60-year-old white man. But actually, it's the opposite, as David, as you pointed out during the break while we were talking more about this. And I read the story. No, it's actually the opposite. He doesn't want any more attention on what happened to his son. So that's why he is saying that he wishes his son was killed by a 60-year-old white man so that they stop talking about this story. But it's interesting because this story really has never made the national news as far as I remember. It certainly, I mean, none of these stories about other, you know, people that have been killed by Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio, have never really gotten national news media attention. Until the whole cats and dogs at the debate thing, right?
I know, which is so frustrating because now that issue has overtaken and now it's all a big fight about whether that's true or not. And it's like it's missing the bigger point. And I was watching some of the Springfield City Council meeting and some of those other interviews with some of these locals, and these people in Springfield are begging and pleading for something to be done, because it's not just all of the traffic accidents, it's not just all of the illegal activities, it's not just all of that, it's also, you know, they're overwhelming and destroying their healthcare system. One local resident literally said, our local clinic here is being over. Check this out. One story I heard was a pregnant Haitian. There's like a clinic. There's like a small clinic in Springfield. It's not a hospital. But what happened was a Haitian woman, one of these Haitian migrants who was 9 months pregnant in labor, had never been to any hospital or clinic. She shows up at the local clinic in labor, and the clinic then has to pay to like life flight her to a hospital and like take care of her. And so, and then there's so many other medical needs from these new 20,000 people, and they're not equipped to deal with it. So now their healthcare system is overwhelmed and getting wiped out. They're talking about how like the bank employees in Springfield are being inundated with all of these Haitians coming into the bank, and they don't understand the money. They don't understand. They don't speak English. They don't speak our banking system. They don't understand the banking system. And so now they're having to deal with that. And there's all of these other issues that come when you put 20,000 French speaking Haitians into Springfield, Ohio. You're going to have a lot of different issues, and the media wants to focus on the dogs and the cats and the geese story because the mainstream media, you know, hasn't reported that. So unless there's a mainstream media report on it, they don't believe it. Never mind the fact that we've got actual eyewitness testimony from numerous folks.
And that's where, again, I think it was a stroke of brilliance by Donald Trump. Even Trump supporters are saying, well, Donald Trump, he brought up stuff that he didn't need to bring up, and he brought up the cats and the dogs thing, and now the media is focused on that. Yeah, but the media never focused on what was going on. They never focused on this migrant crisis in Springfield, Ohio, to a major extent, until Trump brought up the cats and the dogs thing. So, I mean, it's like Donald Trump knows how to pull out the red laser pen, and these cats in the media just follow it like the red dot, like a cat chasing it on the floor, right? And so it's like he had to bring that up in order to get them to focus on the women and the children that are being slaughtered by illegal aliens and other migrants.
Right. And then the local Springfield, you know, city manager says, well, we haven't had any convictions for animal abuse. And then the mainstream media says, well, that must mean it's never happened once. It's never happened once. It's like, no, that's not what that means.
Yeah, and by the way, how long does it take to get a conviction?
Right.
Even if something like that did go through the full court process? We've got 911 audio tapes. You've got people testifying before the city commission. This is what I saw. This is what is happening. I mean, give me a break. That David Muir guy. I've seen people with their name spelled the same way that guy spells his name. But like a typical elitist journalist, it's Muir. I don't even know how to pronounce Muir. I don't know how you pronounce the guy's name. It's like, why don't you just pronounce your name the same way everybody else with that name pronounces that name? These people are so arrogant and elitist, you know?
Oh, yeah. As long as he doesn't say Nevada like Nevada, I'll be okay.
Or Colorado. Yeah, exactly. Or Bozeman. Oh, I'm in Bozeman. I took the scenic route. And did you hear Megyn Kelly blasting Taylor Swift over her endorsement of Kamala Harris? See, to me, I see Taylor Swift endorsing Kamala, and I'm like, okay, whatever, who cares? Like another Hollywood celebrity type.
The people,
whatever.
The people that are going to vote based on who Taylor Swift likes, they were already going to vote Democrat.
they already got problems. If you're listening to a pop music star for how to vote, I'll play. I was going to share the Megyn Kelly audio right after the Fox News update, but that's going to lead into a whole nother conversation. So, and we got some callers on the line we want to get to here this morning as well. Let's go to Tim in Billings first. Tim, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. So one thing during that debate, I didn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't handle watching the whole thing. They asked President Trump, well, what's your deportation plan? And he, they said, is it the National Guard? And he says, it'll be some of the National Guard. And then he made a point to say, and local law enforcement. Well, I have a theory on how I think that would go. I think the way that you would have to see it happen would be that you'd have to see the sheriff deputize a lot of people. And there would have to be, basically a posse go out, and you'd have to do this in several waves and gather up people that are migrants, and I don't know where you're going to put them. So I think you'd have to do it in waves, because we can't afford to build a jail now, and we're not going to build some huge mass detention center for illegal aliens that we wouldn't then use again. I mean, maybe we could, but hopefully crime would drop. But I think that's what they would probably intend on doing, is using some of the population that's willing and able to help. Make our country great again, make America great again, deputize the people and go out and help their own communities by finding people who don't belong there, are here illegally, are breaking laws, aren't being prosecuted. And it would have to be the sheriff, because the sheriff as A.G. Knutson astutely pointed out the other day, the sheriff is the highest elected law enforcement official in each state across the country.
Well, you're right in terms of we would have to do it in waves. So the question is, okay, we've got all these illegal aliens in this country. How do we deport them? I'll have to see if we can get retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Klemm back on the show with us. We did this big statewide tour with Americans for Prosperity Montana and Chief Klemm. But yeah, it's David. I see it. It's like how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's what they're going to have to do with this, massive elephant in the room here of 10 to 15 million illegal aliens that have flooded into this country. And you start by going after those that have already broken other laws. That's who you deport first.
That's 10 million just in the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Wall Street Journal did a huge report about how the 10 million new immigrants just in the last 3.5 years have fundamentally transformed our economy and our labor market. You see it here in Billings, where basically there's entire segments of the workforce and the labor force now that's done exclusively by illegal aliens. So I actually think the best way to do a mass deportation is to not round them up and deport them. It's actually a federal crime to hire illegal aliens. And why don't we have federal prosecutors prosecuting all of these businesses and Billings that are hiring these illegal aliens and committing a federal crime?
Instead, we've got the Biden tester Justice Department threatening businesses that commit to hiring American citizens. Look what they try to do to Elon Musk, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's discriminatory. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
All right, Stephen Ballantyne up next. The NRA is going after the F-rated John Tester as they back Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy in the critical U.S. Senate race here in Montana. Plus, the spouse of a wounded Billings police officer calling out Tester for false claims and says that she and her husband do not endorse Tester. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got both of those stories and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Make sure you get our notifications on the Montana Talks app as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. Steve in Ballantyne, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Morning, guys. Well, it's just frustrating. I mean, I heard it on the news yesterday. It was yesterday. Okay, you know, Kamala's out there, like Trump told, go wake up your bosses, on this immigration problem. And just, you guys can shut it down right now. This Haitian thing in Springfield, apparently, is most of them were flown in on that stupid deal that they started getting on the internet, come to America, we'll fly you here. Most of them were flown in from what they were saying on the news yesterday. Okay? And it's just absurd that woman, we got to take care, the Republicans, it's their problem. They don't want to work with the Democrats on taking care of this immigration problem. Why doesn't she just go to her boss, and why don't they just turn off that stupid program of flying these immigrants into this country with taxpayer money? They're probably putting them in first class if the truth is known. This is just, this stuff's got to quit.
It won't quit until we get rid of Liberal Senator John Tester, because John Tester and the Democrat-run Senate is the reason why this continues, is the reason why this is all happening. And I just think it's important to remind folks of his role in this border crisis, specifically to that point. Yeah, Steve, great point. Thanks for calling in.
Stephen Ballantyne, one of my all-time favorite Montana Talks callers. Stephen Ballantyne, thanks for that call. I love your calls. You're absolutely right. I mean, the Biden administration, what I've started calling is the Biden-Harris Tester regime, because they're all three the same. They're all three working together. By the way, Joe Biden putting on the Trump 2024 hat yesterday was fantastic.
I thought it was fake at first. It's like, no, it's real. Firefighter had the hat on and handed it to Biden, and he put it on, a Trump 2024 red hat. He put the hat on.
And what was interesting is the night before, Donald Trump said in the debate, Joe Biden hates Kamala Harris. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Biden hates Kamala. And then the next day, Joe Biden's putting on the Trump 2024 hat. Anyway, what Stephen Ballantyne's talking about is true, that the Biden-Harris Tester regime has created a app called CBP1, where if you're a Venezuelan, you're a Colombian, you're a Haitian, whatever, you just download the app on your phone and you say, hey, I'm applying for asylum. And then, of course, because the Biden-Harris Tester regime is allowing fraudulent asylum claimants to submit claims, and then they're treating them as if they're legit, knowing that they're obviously fraudulent, and then flying those people into our country. And so that's why the mainstream media said, well, these Haitians are not illegals. They're not, you can't call them illegal aliens. These are here on TPS, which is temporary protected status, which actually is true under federal law. They are allowed to be here. And what's interesting is, under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the federal government does trump any state or local law on immigration. And so there's nothing that these counties or cities can do about this stuff. And they can enforce city and local laws and state laws and stuff like that, but they cannot prevent 20,000 illegal. And so if Harris wins and she wants to drop 20,000 Haitians in Billings, or she wants to drop 20,000 Haitians in Bozeman, there ain't nothing we can do about it.
That's right. Or Butte, you name it. On that point, though, I was at an event recently. Somebody made a really good point on that same line that said, okay, well, right now, here they're trying to dump all these illegal aliens and these TPSs into all these areas. And they're saying, well, you can't do anything about it because of the Supremacy Clause, like David just mentioned. Okay, well, now let's reverse it. Okay, Trump comes in and now wants to deport all these people. What about these sanctuary cities that try to block the deportations of these people? You can use the same argument now that's being used against us, the red states. You can use the same argument and say, no, Minneapolis, or no, San Francisco, Supremacy Clause. You can't stop us from deporting these people. But you still watch as the liberal courts will try to do gymnastics on that one. This black radio host, Charlemagne, real liberal guy, even though I think more and more black American men are starting to vote Republican and are very pro-Trump. The Daily Caller has a great headline here. It only took 20 seconds for a black immigrant caller to unravel Charlemagne's defense of Kamala Harris's role in the border crisis. Let me see which soundbite we got queued up for you here. Let me hold on one second. Let me go back. All right.
But here's the situation. Even if he didn't push the bill, giving more border patrol is not helping the situation that we are still allowing these people to come in. See, well, you can get all the border patrol you want, but if the administration is allowing these immigrants to come in, giving them free flights to go anywhere across America, border patrol can't do anything.
All right, so it's a great point by this caller. So this caller started by saying, look, I love you guys. I listen to your show every morning. He says, I'm a black man. I'm an immigrant. He says, but there are certain things you guys are saying about Kamala. He says, I watched the debate. When they spoke about immigrants, she is half the reason that all these immigrants are in the state of New York or any state for that matter. And then, you know, Charlemagne tried to push back with the same standard Democrat talking points. Well, Trump was against the border bill that would have blah, blah, blah. That we all know would have done nothing to secure the border. And so that was him responding to that point and just totally shut Charlemagne down on that topic.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That's fantastic. It's true. And, you know, I just had a really good point to make about that, and I lost it. But no, I mean, it's true, and they're just processing more people in, and I'm glad that people are bringing up. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Okay, I just remembered it. What is so funny about that is that Vice President Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president, tie-breaking vote in the United States Senate, and she's in power, and yet Donald Trump, a private citizen, actually controls what happens at the federal government level, because Donald Trump can just make a phone call and kill the bill. What does that say about Vice President Kamala Harris's ability to pass legislation on so Vice President Harris, the sitting vice president, she actually can be working with Congress to try to push a bill, and Donald Trump, a private citizen, not in any official, he has more power than Vice President Kamala Harris in terms of getting Congress to act.
Yeah,
that says quite a lot.
Great point. I loved his line when he said, why don't you go down, walk down the hallway at the White House, wake Joe up, and tell him to secure the border.
Well, you're going to have to go to the Delaware Beach to wake him up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Jay in Billings, speaking of beach vacations and Joe Biden, Jay in Billings sent us this message earlier this morning. It has been said that mathematically it would take more than 45 years for the average American worker to accumulate the amount of time off that Joe Biden has vacationed during his presidency. Anyway, he says, not to worry, though. The border is secure. The national debt will soon be paid off. And what Chris Christie says about space balloons is true. I don't know. What does Chris Christie say about space balloons?
I don't know.
Jay, message us more on that one.
It's like you're trying to watch some, you know, I was flipped. When I live stream on Twitch, I'll pull up the, you know, the YouTube live streams of pre-debate analysis, and we'll watch a little bit of it, then I'll comment on it. And it's on the Sunday shoes. They've always got Chris Christie on. Chris Christie's like this paid contributor for, I don't know if it's NBC or whatever. And then you've got Reince Priebus on there, and it's like these are the quote unquote Republicans they have on there. And then they did a big Face the Nation did a big thing with Nikki Haley, and it's like all of the mainstream media is out there. The only Republicans that they allow on these big networks and the Sunday shows is people like Chris Christie and Nikki Haley. I mean, yeah. What a joke!
Exactly. Dave in Butte messaged us. Don't forget, everybody loved Trump until he ran for president. The left is ruthless that way. That was a message that we got from Dave in Butte. All right, Megyn Kelly. So Taylor Swift, we all know Taylor Swift. She's one of these Hollywood music industry celebrities. Most of them, even if they aren't already leftists themselves, they have to be, because that's the people they roll with. That's the industry they work in, right? So we know that she's going to support crazy Kamala, crazy policies. But what Megyn Kelly sounded off on was the fact that Taylor Swift is claiming that the reason why she endorsed Kamala Harris is because of Tim Walz's pro-LGBTQ-RSTLNE policies. And the point that Megyn Kelly made is that Walz signed – this is at thedailywire.com – signed an executive order protecting life-altering gender procedures on minors in Minnesota. In fact, not only that, but But the state of Minnesota could basically take custody of these children, and then these procedures could take place. They could chop body parts off of these kids, put them in Minnesota court's custody, and they would be sterilized outside of the custody of their parents. So that's what set Megyn Kelly off. I'll share a quick soundbite from Megyn Kelly's podcast right after this. Get David's take and more.
Now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free. These humans can stream all the top-rated national news channels on DirecTV, and now with no satellite dish.
This just in. Weather, sports, election coverage. DirecTV has it all, but something is missing. The satellite dish.
What are you doing?
I'm reporting the news. Back to you, Bob.
Here's some news. You're a buffoon.
Stream the top-rated national news channels. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com. Internet required. Top-rated news based on 2023 Nielsen ratings.
Fox News commentary.
Kamala finally added an issues section to her website, but there's just one little problem. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Jalen Nova, fourth-ranked Alabama. Take on Wisconsin.
Watch out!
The best pregame, the best announcers, the biggest games. Big noon Saturday. Noon Eastern on Fox.
We're bringing the thunder to football. Fox Weather is storming the field with the risk of weather impact on the hottest NFL games this season. Listen to Storming the Field every Friday on FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
The long-awaited issues tab on Kamala's campaign website finally appeared, but there's just one little problem. A good chunk of it was just copied and pasted from Joe Biden's website. According to a deep dive featured by the left-leaning outlet The New Republic, the metadata shows that much of the language in Kamala's issues section appears to be lifted right off of Joe's campaign website. Tech gurus noticed the familiar metadata when links to the campaign site were shared and in the website's description on Google searches. In fact, the metadata even shows traces of language to re-elect Joe Biden. This metadata has since been removed, but the internet footprint is forever. I'm no tech wizard, but this seems like quite the lazy, unforced error. First, she didn't have an issues tab at all for nearly 2 months, and when she finally bothered to add one, her team couldn't even make it her own. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Don Gallagher at TownSquareMedia.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I really wanted to play the Jesse Waters, a clip from Jesse Waters' program last night. He had great debate coverage, debate insight, where, okay, Kamala performed like she didn't, you know, completely melt down the way Joe Biden did. But yet still, independent voters were leaning even more towards Trump after the debate. Maybe I'll see if I can play part of that for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we're going to talk more about Springfield, Ohio. Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio is covering that story, and he always does a great job getting the facts out and getting the truth out. The state of Ohio is sending state troopers and $2.5 million to Springfield, Ohio, because of this influx of the Haitian migrants there. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So, David, I mentioned this Megyn Kelly story, Megyn Kelly blasting Taylor Swift over her endorsement of Kamala. And she basically makes the point that it's phony, that Taylor Swift is claiming, oh, well, it's because of Tim Walz's LGBTQIA policies. And it's like, no, you were going to endorse her anyway. You don't need to make up some story. But look at how radical Tim Walz's policies in Minnesota are. The state can take your kids away from you, chop their body parts off, and you don't even have a say in the process at all. The fact that they would even do that, even with a parent's permission, is child abuse and insane.
This is disgusting. If she wants to vote Harris Walz, she can do it all she wants. But to say the reason she's doing it is because of Tim Walz's stance on LGBTQ, F you, Taylor Swift, and F all of the people who want to see these children have body parts chopped off and watch them sterilized under the age of consent, and then will ride off to their multi-gazillion dollar mansions, never to think of them again.
Yeah, it's the Hunger Games, isn't it? That's what I always think of whenever I see these crazy Hollywood celebrities pushing this sort of stuff.
Well, Aaron, I fully expect the mainstream media to put out a story about how that's not true, that that's not happening in Minnesota, that you're spreading misinformation. It's just like the story about Trump saying that Democrats support post-birth executions of babies, and then they live fact-checked him falsely, because as John Solomon at justthenews.com has reported, a fully legitimate, actually maybe the most legitimate news source out there, justthenews.com, who John Solomon, highly, highly respected journalist, has reported that in Minnesota, under Tim Walz, there were 8 babies that were born alive after a botched abortion. I still think one of the most powerful moments on Montana Talks ever is when you had on that woman who was a survivor of a botched abortion.
Oh, yeah, from the Bitterroot Valley.
Yes,
yeah.
That was one of the most powerful moments ever. And that has, and those botched abortions have happened in Minnesota, and they had reported, the State Department of Health had reported that there were 8 babies that were born alive that did not receive the life-saving care that they should have. And then, of course, Tim Walz then passed a new law with the legislature eliminating the reporting requirement for
that. So that it can happen and nobody knows about it.
Right. And what your story here is, what you and Megyn Kelly are talking about, is absolutely true as well. It's so extreme, it's almost incomprehensible. At the same time, we've got
top, it's evil.
It's straight up evil. And you've got top U.S. surgeons from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons now saying that they are opposed to any kind of gender affirming care to minors because there's simply not enough evidence. You're seeing that, of course, in Europe as well, where they've recognized this is insane, this is unscientific, this is doing lifelong permanent damage to these innocent little kids. And you've got Democrats like the Biden-Harris tester Walz regime who are not only openly supporting that being allowed at all, but then doing it at the state level against the wishes of the parents. That is unreal.
And remember, this was one of the biggest fights in the Montana legislature last legislative session. The Democrats in Montana, in the Montana legislature, remember this, in these legislative races, they did not want to protect kids from this very sort of thing. So remember that when you vote for those legislative candidates. David Noble, again, always great to have you in here.
Thank you.
Thanks again.